last weekend at Korihas, where we normally reach out to the people, local people there, and we were doing that in cooperation with the mission team that was visiting us from Stellenbosch, and it was a big blessing. So I really want to invite you, those of you that feel that you want to be involved. You can't go on a long-term mission. We do these every 2-3 months. So you want to go for a weekend and just be changed, you are welcome to put your name down, talk to Jessica or myself. And it's really just a blessing just to go out of our comfort zone sometimes and just see how things works there. We're working there. And there was just a blessing. You know, we were showing the Jesus film there. For many of us, we have televisions. We see all kinds of things. And that night, it was just for me special, you know, looking at all these children. This big, I know, not in my time. Before that, I think our parents, they had the inrei. It felt like that, you know. You came with the car, and there's a massive screen. We had this massive screen up there in the middle of the village, and people sitting on the rooftops and old car wrecks, and they're all looking at this movie. And interesting to hear Jesus talking, Damara Namara, Kung Kain, I remember when we were in Angola, one of the local people, and I think their language is Ubuntu. And he said, oh, I didn't know Jesus is talking Ubuntu. So it was almost a situation like that on Friday night, but it was a blessing. But you can turn with me to Genesis 22. Genesis 22, and also we're reading from Mark 10, from verse 17, those two parts we will do today, or use the scripture. And I'm talking about reflecting or responding, reflecting or responding. The moment I don't hear any pages, I'll accept that everybody is at their place, or it's the wind. Genesis 22 from verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abram and said to him, Abram! And he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abram arose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. We'll only read up to that. I think we all know the story of Abram and what happened after that. But we can jump to Mark 10, verse 17. And he's saying, or he goes, now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And we'll read up to that. Isn't it interesting that Jesus always knows how to touch our hearts? You know, he's just into this business of asking the right questions. And by the way, when Jesus asks you a question, I've said it before, he's not, or God asks you a question, it's not because he don't know the answer, because he's God. It's so that me and you need to reflect on this and wonder, if he asks me the question, he wants me to know the answer of the question. And interesting to see that there's two scenarios here. In both cases, they get a commandment. Think for yourself. I wanted to do it a bit more visual, but I decided against it. That God would come to you, if you have children this morning, telling you, I'm not talking about figuratively, I'm talking about literally, telling you, offer up your son. Kill him. I know we will go to jail nowadays, but I want you to picture this for yourself, that God will ask you something like that, to put him on the altar, offer him unto me. Or, for others of us this morning, God comes to you and he says to you, listen, that nice car that you have, can you sell that for us, please? You know that nice beach house? Please sell that as well. Can you empty your bank account? Still sell all your furniture and then just give that to the poor and then you come and follow me. That's a strong statement, eh? That's very strong. I mean, even with the first one as well, even more. And different commands, a different response. Abram gets such an... I mean, I can't imagine myself in this whole situation when God comes to me and asks me something like that. What would my response be? And then the young man, when he comes to Jesus, God, Jesus, I'm here. Count me in. I'm your follower. I've done everything. But Jesus knew somewhere in his heart there's a soft spot. And he just knows the right question to ask or the right command to give. To touch that place. You know, he did all the other things right, but that one place occupied his heart, or that's one place, the weakness. You know, Paul wrote, and he said in Romans 7:19, he says, for the good that I will to do, that I do not do, and the evil that I will, that I do not want to do, that I do. I find myself that I have this problem. I contemplate on the word of God often. And very often too much. I postpone. I procrastinate. I make excuses. When God says, just do it. Like, eat. When God says, this is the way. I find myself often justifying myself. But you know, this is the reason why, God. Oh Lord, what if I do this part? I pull a Jonah on myself. I'll do that. Or rather, don't ask me that. I find myself negotiating while God is not into bargaining and negotiating. Huh? Dominique, you would know. The people do that often with you there at the marketplace, huh? Only the local people, not the foreign people. Huh? The local people, they negotiate. The foreign people, they just pay. Huh? But I want to read something from David Platt called Book Radical, which he says, first, from the outset, you need to commit to believe whatever Jesus says. As a Christian, it would be a grave mistake to come to Jesus and say, let me hear what you have to say, and then I'll decide whether or not I like it. If you approach Jesus this way, you will never truly hear what you have to say. You have to say yes to the words of Jesus before you even hear them. Then second, you need to commit to obey what you have heard. I know we in the church in general, you know, nowadays, you know, we choose the Bible. We like, some of us, our Bibles are thinner than the normal Bible. We just tear out some of the pages, the ones we don't like. Huh? The tithing one, Malachi, we don't have, some of us don't have a Malachi chapter. Well, we don't like that. But many of us, we've got the Deuteronomy one, the one that you'll be blessed. It's highlighted. Yes, God, that's mine. I'll take that word. That's mine. Amen. Huh? Well, let me see if mine in Malachi, I'm not going to show you. I don't know if mine in Malachi is highlighted. I might be embarrassed here. Huh? We choose the word of God and then we choose what's supposed to be on our plate. And Lord, I like that one. I'll take that one. And we reflect upon the rest. While God calls us rather to respond than just reflect. And it's good. We need to think about the word. But I'm talking about the place where we go over into the actual deed and responding. Rather than just, you hear people all the time. God has been talking to me about this for a while now. I've been thinking about this for the last 6 months now. God is talking to me that I need to get rid of that habit, but you know, I'm just so weak. I just can't get over this. Huh? We reflect so long, for such a long time. We treat the word of God like maybe other day when I, you know, maybe it will be one of my New Year's resolutions. I will start then. Let's just enjoy the last three. Let's just chill out last three. And I'll just go full out, and then next year, beginning, that will be one of my New Year's resolutions. I don't know about you people, but I struggle. I want to get to that place like Abram, When God comes to Abram and he says to him, offer your son Isaac. Abram didn't wait for the confirmation and for 10 people to come with a scripture to him. He, first of all, he heard God's voice. He knew there was God talking. And then he didn't allow that the Satan or enemy would come and ask him, did God really say that? You can't touch that. Sow doubt in your heart. No. Abram, we said it before, early the next morning, that was the kind of man that trembled at God's word. He took that as for real, and that is God talking to me. Not like the young man, oh God, I love you. I'll go to whatever lens, Jesus, let me be a servant of you. And then Jesus just ask him, or just give him one command. Not that we can't have all these things. I'm not preaching against that this morning. I'm talking about our heart. The things that occupy us, that keep us from responding. And we sit in a place of reflecting and reflecting upon God's word. And we never get to the Nike stage. You know, we are driven by our selfish desires. We ask questions like, what can I get out of it? Or what will it cost me? Or what if I obey? What will then happen to me? What do I have to give up? We're always negotiating in our mind. We're asking those kind of questions. Will it suit me? And at the end of the day, that word, we hear it all the time, me, me. God, what about me? And the center is me. Not God, will it please you? What if I obey? Is that pleasing unto you? But rather it's me. And that's just a way of us, you know, where we have to get rid of this thing, our fleshly desires, selfish desires. You know, Bible talks about in 2 Timothy 4 verse 3, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to the fables. Itchy ears. Have we got itchy ears this morning that we want to hear? You know, we want to hear the things that's nice that we want to hear rather than the things that we need to hear. I had such a situation this week, and it's not people with us in the congregation. A couple come to me and they say to me, can you marry us? So we go for a meeting and we talk normally about this whole thing. What do we do? What's our stance? And this is a church. And we try and get anybody that's getting married for us to help them with the pre-marriage course, just so that you answer or ask certain questions before the time, just to save you a bit of trouble at the end. And I think you can't cover it all, but at least you can prepare somebody. And from our side as a church, we've got a responsibility. You know, it's not just the piece of paper you sign and off you go. I know some of us, maybe we got married like that, but later on you realize that it was more than that. It's a covenant and all of that. We're not talking about marriage. But for our side, from the church, we have a responsibility to spiritually support you as far as we can within our capabilities. So anyway, we had a meeting, all goes well, and we're discussing about starting January with the whole pre-marriage thing and then arranged to see, let Dennis see them. But halfway through the conversation, and you don't ask these questions in the beginning because sometimes when you don't know somebody, it's a bit awkward. So I just sense in my spirit, I need to ask them, do you live together? Should I ask the question? No, let me just ask a question. We are now honest with one another. And so I ask the question and then the answer comes, yes, we do. So, okay, now we have the problem. That's the one I didn't want to hear. But so I said, this is now a difficult situation because we'll have to talk about this question now. Because it's not, you know, it's not like my preference or I feel like it. It's just the stand of God. Sexual immorality. So I didn't create the picture that strong. I just said, you know, we'll have to talk about it because we as a church believe that we want to walk in purity. So we really want to ask you that you walk in purity and as far as possible, and they're living in the same house. I said, I know it's difficult, but my advice, I'm not saying the Bible says that. I just say my advice is just to move out for that short period out of the same house because I know the Bible says the Spirit is willing. But, the flesh is weak, eh? Huh? That's true. And you nearly need to be Superman if you can stay pure there, huh? You rather just don't want to go on that ground. It's difficult. I'm not the policeman. I can't be there all the time. I'm just giving advice based upon this. So I said, it's going to be hard. My advice would be, so next thing they come back and said, well, will you still marry us if we move out of the same room? We live in the same house in different rooms. So now I'm praying about this, and I'm consulting some of the leaders, and I asked Dennis, I said, what do you think about this? How are we going to address this? I want to help. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not there. I'm not this God between you and God. I can just set the standard. So I said, well, I had a discussion. I came back. I said, yes, okay, we'll go to that length. We'll help. Okay. But then I ask you now, walk in purity. Because between us, you and us, we can't ignore this. We spoke about this now. Just walk in purity from now onwards. You can live in separate rooms. We'll marry you. But just walk in purity. And as far, let's just stay accountable and keep these things in the light. So the next thing, next morning, I get a text message. It's fine. Thank you for being willing. But we found the other pastor that will marry us. So I'm like, God, this is what 2 Timothy 4 talks about. I don't know the person. I don't even know this. Have we got different Bibles? Are we saying yes? Say the one says yes and the other one says no. You can live together. We'll marry you. And that's what the Bible says, you know. That's why you need a friend today that sometimes needs to tell you the things that you don't want to hear, but that you need to hear. Hey? It's not always nice to hear the things that we don't want to hear. And it's normally those things that will keep us on track and bring us to our destiny. I thank God for those people in my life that sometimes, it's not a hard word, it's just a word of correction sometimes. That says, listen, I think you're out of line now. And in love, I'm here to tell you, you need to get in line. Because if we have friends around us that always just tell us the things that we want to hear, how is it possible that when we get out of line, that we would get in the direction, the right direction? If we haven't got that kind of relationship where we're honest with one another. And the Bible talks about it in 2 Timothy 4. People with itching ears, tell me the things that I want to hear. God, thank you for that blessing. But no, you've not been faithful in your tithing. Oh, God, I'll take the blessing. That's mine. Amen. God sometimes says, no, you need to see the bigger picture. You need to get the full version. And the reason why we sometimes don't hear God is that we're not coming with a heart that says, Lord, I'm willing to obey irrespective of what you say. That's a dangerous place in the spirit. Dangerous in the sense that, or risky, risky is maybe the better word. Because you're coming to a place and God, I just take over. Whatever you say, you're committing to obey even before you've heard what he's going to say. Like that young man. He didn't have that in his heart. He said, yes, Lord, I will. But based upon what Jesus said, he decided. And it's so easy with the word of God that we read that and we have that kind of mindset as well where I'll just first see if I like it or not, and I'll decide how I will implicate this in my life, on what conditions, and if it suits me. And maybe God will have grace on me. I really pray that God will have grace on me, honestly, because I think we have a distorted vision of God many times. We like the love part. God is gracious, but we forget that God is also the judge. We lack that fear, and we will get to that a little bit later. We are driven by our comfort. We are willing to obey as long as it doesn't cost us too much. We read in Luke 9, verse 62, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go again. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. You thought about that when Jesus comes and tell you, listen, Jesus, I just have a funeral. I'll see you at 3 o'clock. Jesus told you 12 o'clock, we've got a meeting. No, let me just do that. No, leave the dead to bury themselves. You just follow me. Very strong command there. But again, we'll get to this now, why Jesus said that. Jesus said to the other one, but Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand, I'm jumping around, verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Okay? That one with the funeral. If you understand the Jewish custom, you will understand why that man told Jesus, let me first go and bury my father. Because why? He knew if he buried his father, there's money involved here. He get a bigger portion of the inheritance. So he's thinking money here. I want to negotiate here with Jesus. I get this and that. Jesus said, you know, don't get both. Your heart can only be at one place. It can't be at two places. You either serve the one that you fear. And I'm not saying, people, don't hear me wrong, get me wrong here this morning. I'm not saying that all these things that God blesses us this morning is wrong. But it can't occupy our heart. We need to make sure that we are free of that. Our family, our possessions, our work, anything like that. God wants us to be free so that when He talks, we don't reflect, we respond. We're a God-fearing man like Abram that rose up early the next morning. You know, Jesus came and then He said to His disciples, come, and He walks. You, follow me. He didn't turn around and say, listen here, Clarence, can you just resign at your job and just talk to your boss and tell him that you have 6 months and convince him for 6 months. Leave that, I know you've got a family of five. Can you just leave that boat of yours? I know that's your provision. Follow me. And he turned around and he walks. And we, I said it before as well in church, we want to drag people in. Oh, please, let me just not embarrass you. Please, please come to Jesus today. I'm going to ask everybody to close their eyes and then we're going to create an environment for everybody here so that nobody will feel ashamed. And then you can raise up your hand there and I'll see you. I know there's place for all of that. But at the end of the day, Jesus is so direct and so clear sometimes. So it's scary to read the word like that. You just follow me. You decide if you want to or not. Because I think sometimes we allow ourselves, you know, we start justifying, we reasoning in our minds, all these things. And what if I leave this now? I think George Meyer once said it, like, if we argue too long, we will argue ourselves out of it, out of God's word, out of His commands. Sometimes we have to take it for face value. God said it, I'll just do it. I don't ask questions, I don't see the benefits right now. But that's the sign of someone that is a God-fearing person. You serve God irrespective of whether you see the benefits of that decision to do that or not. And then later on, if God perhaps grant us the wisdom or the grace to see why, it's very often so rewarding to look back and say, God, thank you. I was just obedient there. I might have not felt like that at that moment. I did it with a long, sad face. And sometimes you just have to do it. Whether you feel like it or not, the feeling will probably come along the way. You just know, I use this example and it's true. I don't know, maybe there's more spiritual people here. I'm not one of them there. Woo, when you paid your first tithe, you jumped up and down, you thought about all the benefits and you see the kingdom picture. I don't know about you. When I paid my first, I thought about, God, will I make it? Oh, what could I have done with all that money and could have saved that or I could have paid that? Huh? But you know, you had to. That's what God's word says. And any other area, that's just one example, you know, not just finances. You know, sometimes you just have to be obedient. God says, just, I want you to. That's my standard. Purity. And we can talk about many other things. It's different for all of us. But we love the comfort of reflection more than the discomfort of responding. And this is where God has called us on. He comes to us and He says in Luke 9, He says, no one is fit in the kingdom of God who has put his hand to the plow and look around. Because if you understand how the plow used to work, we've got one on the farm. where the ox would pull it, if you look in a different direction, you will naturally gravitate towards that direction. Where's your eye set upon this morning? Is your vision clear? Are both your hands on the plow this morning? Have we got something else that we're dragging, we can't get rid of, that we want to take with us? And Jesus said, just let go of that. Just want your heart this morning so that you can serve me at such a place where you are free. On a lighter side, I heard about this this man that was so overweight. I don't mean just not put the kilos there. Maybe I trip instead on those. He was very, very, very overweight. So he came to the pastor. He said, Pastor, please pray for me. I really need to get rid of all this weight. So the pastor said, this, no problem. Get ready next morning, 8 o'clock, you'll be ready. So the following morning, as the doors opened, there was the doorbell rung, and he opened the door, and he was this young lady, you know, fit and all. She's dressed in a tracksuit, and she said, the pastor said that if you can catch me, you can have me. So he's running, and that kept on for 5 weeks or so. So he lost a lot of weight and almost to the weight he wanted to be. So the next morning after he's lost so much, he had another call, or the doorbell rang again. And this time it was the opposite. It was this overweight lady. And he was there. He lost, I think, more than 50 kilos. And she looked at him. She said, well, the pastor said, if I can catch you, I can have you. So there's different ways of reaching your goals, you know. But I'm not advising that that's the best way of losing weight. But I found it funny. We are sometimes driven by the needs of the world. We're driven by our selfish desires, by our comfort. But we're also driven, and we base our decisions upon the needs of this world, what the world wants. Psalm 106, verse 15 says this, and he gave them their request and sent leanness into their soul. Talks about the Israelites. They kept on asking God, 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 can I have it? Can I have it? And many times we ask things from God that he doesn't really, in his perfect will, want for us. So he would give it to you, like if we can, or complain like our children. You know, when children, can I have that? Can I have that? Can I have that? And then you sometimes, I know I'm not a good parent there, but then you reach a place, oh, just buy the thing so that you just keep quiet, you know. Especially when they do it in the shop. I know that's not the right. But when he talks here about that in Psalm 106, he said, he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. You can have something in the material, but you just know, God, you don't want me to have that. You don't have the peace. You are empty. And I'd rather have the fullness in the Spirit than having all these other things which God doesn't want me to have. I'm talking about when God doesn't want you, not that he knows that you are fit, and that wouldn't occupy your heart, that's fine. But if we keep on asking him, he will give it to us, but it might distract us. We indulge in the desires and the needs of this world, my security, my comfort, and it's often in direct opposition with what God wants for us. We choose to reflect and to trust in our comfort often more than obeying God's word. I think about Mary. She was 8.5 months pregnant. There's a few pregnant ladies here, including my wife. You know, when you reach the last stage, you become very uncomfortable. This can only sleep in one way and can't turn. All those things I can tell you. And those of you that's married as well, you would know. There's a difficult stage. And women, I understand. And then it's coming, when it's hot, it's even worse. And Mary and Joseph lives in Nazareth. So it's 8.5 months pregnant. I can see they already packed the bag, you know. We're going to Nazareth Mediclinic for Jesus that is coming, you know. We've got the blanket. We've got all that stuff. It's ready. We just want, we wait for the water to break. Is that the right English? Yes, we're just waiting for that. But God had different plans. Because Jesus, according to prophecy, had to be born in Bethlehem, not in Nazareth. So God used a world system to get them out of their place of comfort on a donkey. Think for yourself, a pregnant lady, 8.5 months pregnant on a donkey. It's not the Jaguar or the Toyota, driving to the hospital. And it's not in a few minutes on the back of that to get him to the place where the prophecy can be fulfilled. What am I trying to say to you this morning? Many times, God can pick you up. You don't want to be in a situation. And you can't get there on your own because you're just sometimes reflecting too long. That God will pick you up and throw you in the middle of a situation where you don't want to be. And the last thing you need to do is to start rebuking Satan. I know there's a place for that. Some of us rebuke Satan for everything. You would imagine that you've got your own personal Satan that's here causing havoc wherever you go. And always it's just Satan's fault. And sometimes it's just God just trying to teach us a lesson. That we need to. There's a place for that. But sometimes we just need to ask ourselves, Lord, what am I supposed to learn in the midst of this trouble, in the midst of this mess? There's maybe not Satan involved this time. Maybe it's just a lot of circumstances together in God. You're using Romans 8, verse 28 here together for the sake of your good. What can I learn from this? What are you trying to teach me? Because on my own, I couldn't get there. But now you've picked me up. You've thrown me in this among these people. What are you trying to tell me this morning? And we need to be sensitive to the voice. We need to be sensitive to that. When we are responding, we are driven by the fear of the Lord. We are driven by the fear of the Lord. And Solomon, he wrote in Proverbs, in the very first chapter, he says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." My friend, the Bible says that if you and me do not fear God, He doesn't call you any other thing than a fool. You are a fool if you don't fear God. You are a fool if you think that you can carry on and don't fear Him and there's not a consequence. Psalm 14 verse 1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." So for everything we do, we have to understand there's a loving part. God is the loving one, the Savior that reached out, but He's also the judge. It means that I give Him the place. I treat Him in reverence, in awe, as holy. There's a standard. I know that I have to. That's like that fear that you, not the fear as a sense of being afraid, but as a parent towards a child. My child or my little daughter can't just do and carry on like she does if she feels like that. Because she needs to know there's consequences if she disobeys. And the same with us as children of God. We cannot expect God, it's okay, I'll just do that again, I'll leave that, I'll treat your word lightly, I'll just struggle with this for another 6 months, another 6 years, I don't know. My friends, I don't know how long and how far God's grace would be. I'm not here this morning to preach upon that. Felix came here in a situation where he stood and Paul stood in front of him. And the word says, I preached about that 2-3 weeks ago, when Paul shared the gospel with him. But Felix said, no, not now. I'll call upon you for a more convenient time. That's one of the most strongest scriptures I've ever. Maybe it's just because it speaks to me. When God talks to us and we say to the Lord, or say to God, not now, Lord. Maybe in a time when it's more convenient to me. Then I'll lay it down and we can talk again about it. Can we talk about something else? We are driven, people, when we are responding instead of reflecting, we are driven by faith. It means, Hebrews 11 verse 6-7 says, "Without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." When we sometimes obey, you need faith. You know that if I step out on this, it's not going to be easy. If I walk in obedience right now on my own, I don't see the end. I don't know how. But God, I know that You told me to move. You told me to get out of the boat. And I'll take that word. I heard the story about it's actually a true story. During the Second World War, 1944, I believe, there was a small French city that was taken captive by the German soldiers. And A lot of these French resistance fighters, they drew a map of the whole city with every stronghold, where every sniper is, where all the bomb, all, everything, where the German people were. And they sent that to one of the American captains. And the captain received the map. It was a very detailed map. And not that that little battle would won the Second World War, but it would save him from a lot of casualties. I'm sending a lot of letters to parents about it. So what he did is he took the map, he studied the map, and then he gave it to his soldiers. And he allowed them to study that for a time. And then after that, he tested them. And not a single one of them failed the test. They knew that off by heart. They knew exactly where the enemy was. They went in, they conquered, they took the city back. 30 years after that, an army historian or researcher, he did a survey. He took a few tourists, about the same amount of people that were soldiers, and he took a few tourists and he gave them the same map, asked them to study the map, and then he gave them a test, and they all failed. Why? Because if your life depends on something, you look at it differently. This is not a book of good suggestions. The way we treat God's word is not just something of maybe, if I feel so. Do I like it? Maybe tomorrow. Maybe next year. If we really understand that what we're doing here on a Sunday, what we read, how we spend time with God is a matter of life or death, I think we'll treat God's word differently. We'll look at it. We'll know our word. We'll know the strongholds. We'll know our weaknesses. We'll know where we can tread upon. We'll know which areas we can enter. But we'll also know that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And only with that, only when we know that and we treat that in reverence. The Bible talks about that when he says in Isaiah 66 verse 5, he talks about the you who 66 verse 5, he says, hear the word of the Lord, you would tremble at his word. To tremble at his word means you take it for face value. You treat that like that. My last point this morning, before I do that, before I share my last one more story that I want to share with you about faith, about moving in faith. I heard this story about, again, as a pastor of a small church, about 300 people there in America, it happened where they were building, they built a new building or new church, and about 10 days before they were about to have the official opening of this church, the building inspector, the council came to him, told him, listen, this parking area that you have at the back here, and the place was built close to a little mountain, not a, you know, not the Andersgebergte or the Karasberge, but a small mountain. And he told him, according to regulations, the parking area you have is not big enough for the size of church you have and the amount of people that would come through here. So you can't use this place. You can't open the church and dedicate, or and so they had a problem. So the pastor announced in church, okay, tomorrow night, Monday night, we're going to have a prayer meeting here. And everybody with mountain-moving faith, can you please come to church? We're going to pray. Right? Jesus said, if you have faith, you can move a mountain. Can you imagine that situation? Can you imagine that prayer meeting? So they prayed, and then they left, and they went home. And a few days after that, the pastor had a knock on the door, and there was somebody from a construction company. He said, Pastor, we're building a mall at the back there, somewhere down the line. We need a lot of dirt to fill all these holes. Can we take some of that mountain, remove that, and then we'll pay for the area to be paved as well again? Hey, how's that for mountain moving faith? I tell you, many times God comes to answer things not the way we expected that. I bet you the people came there probably just said, Lord, I just want obedience. I don't know how this is going to happen, but I'm just going to pray. And God comes and he answers that prayer in a total different way, but at the end of the day, the same result. And my last point this morning is, when we respond rather than reflect, we are driven by eternal perspective, by eternal concept. Because everything what we experience is here for the now. The world tells you, now, you can have it now, enjoy now, pay later. I heard on the radio, Nick, this has even got this thing, advertisement now. You can buy now, only pay 28th of February. Right? Oh, I can just imagine when February comes. people want to spend this time of year. They say January is the worst time when the credit card statement comes through, you know. It's a very depressed month. Because you can have it now, pay later. That's right. And the same with us here. You can have it now, but you will pay later. And my friend, it is not. I hope that we will come to that place where we understand, according to 1 Corinthians 3, when the Bible says the fire will come and it will test everything. What is your house looking like? I'm preaching on that end of this year. And God gave me this sermon about the house. Is your house built with gold? Is it silver, stone, precious stones? Or when the fire comes, what will be? The drie varkies, eh? The fire comes. Or wolf. Huh? Sorry, was it the wolf? The wolf came. And only the one with the brick house remained. But everything we do here on earth, whether we are, when we are obedient, has got a price on it. This has got a price here. But on the 30 rand. In eternity, nothing. My house has got a big price here. My car has got a big price here. So we can carry on. Which is necessary in all of those things. But God just wants our hearts free. So that we can be free to serve Him. And not to reflect, but to respond. To say, God, I serve you. Irrespective of what you're going to say. I don't know what tomorrow would look like. I don't know what you will ask me tomorrow. But I choose today to obey you. Even if I don't know what you're going to ask me tomorrow. That's a place where your heart needs to get or reach. I don't know about you, my friends, this morning. I've got a long way to go still. And I want to end this morning in prayer. And I want to invite you. If you, Clarence, can have some music. If you know this morning, I'm not at that place, like almost like Abram was. And Abram wasn't perfect. That you want to reach that place when God says, follow me. Or come. I don't want to come with excuses. Or say, Lord, just give me 6 months so I might just go and bury my father. Or just let me go and greet him. And it all just talks about excuses and things. About a place where your heart needs to be. Say, God, I commit, like I had that quote in the beginning. I commit to obey even before I hear what you say. Not when I hear, then I will decide. I want to be that God-fearing man. That man that lives and walks in faith. That see things from a different perspective. Not from the now and my and me. But from you. Will it please you? In eternity. Will it matter in eternity? What is the price I will pay in eternity for the now? What I'm busy with now. And if you feel in your heart this morning that you want to get to that place. And say, God, I'm committing this morning to say, God, when you say come, I will come. Oh, when you say follow me, I will say, yes, Lord, I'm here. I might not know what you ask me, but I'm here to say to you, Lord, help me to get to that place. But I want you to stand with me as we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we are falling short in many areas, especially this one, Lord, when we treat your word sometimes light, Lord, not with reverence and the holy, Lord. And God, we just lack, for the lack of better words, with honestly, we just lack a fear of you. Father, my prayer is this morning that you will just come restore that in our hearts. Lord, not the fear that we have to be afraid, but Lord, the fear of our respect and treating you as holy. Knowing, Lord, that you are the judge this morning as well. And Lord, that there's a price for everything we are busy here with on earth, Lord. And Father, my prayer is this morning that you will help us to start building differently, Lord. Lord, we want to exchange this morning, Lord, our straw and all this wood, Lord, and those things that we've builded with, Lord, with gold and silver and precious stones, Lord. God, we want to be like Abram isn't perfect, but Father, we read about him, Lord, that he didn't contemplate, he didn't reflect upon the command you gave him, Lord, but early the next morning, Lord, he just obeyed you, Lord. Lord, maybe we've been struggling for many years and months or days with certain things, and Lord, we want to move to that place when you instruct us, Lord, that we move in faith. We move blindly without seeing the benefits of doing that, but Father, we move because we want to be obedient. We want to ask that question, Lord, does it please you and you alone, Lord, and not what does it cost me, Lord? Help us to reach that place. And Father, for some of us this morning, we're just so weak. I know, Lord, there's so many of us maybe standing this morning, Lord. We say, Lord, I want to, but I feel so weak. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that you will come with your grace to sustain us. Lord, your grace that will enable us to do what the truth demands of us this morning, Lord. Lord, as we almost about to finish this year, we're looking into 2013, Lord, we want to put both hands on the plow this morning. We want to recapture our vision, Lord, and restore that unto you and you alone, Lord. Father, thank you for all the blessings you give us. But Father, it was never meant to occupy our hearts. And you alone, Lord, there's only place for you. Move us to that place, Lord. Maybe just where you're standing there right now. Just in your heart, just silently. I want you, if there's something that you know that's withholding you, just give it to God, just where you are. Just say, Lord, I just give that to you. My heart, you want that fully. And let's just surrender that unto him. It's just such a sweet presence of him this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you this morning. Your grace is more than enough this morning, Lord. We hold on to that. Let that grace help us to do that. To come to your standard and level. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you. You're welcome. If you need some prayer, I'll still be here. Have a wonderful Sunday. Enjoy the time with your families. I will see you next Sunday. Thank you.